Let us pray. Dear God, we want to thank you this morning for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your grace that we should continue to grant us each day, Lord. And as we've come, Lord, to speak your word, not me, Holy Spirit, you speak. And let the word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it be sent. Have your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We continue with our series, Standing Firm, Not Shaking. Standing firm, not shaking. And today we want to look at living in expectancy of Jesus' return. You know, sometimes when you're expecting a guest at your home, you go ahead and do all necessary preparation, right? And I remember growing up back home when I went to spend vacation with my grandmother, and she had, if you see certain dishes coming out of this closet or something, that means some important guest is coming by. And that means that you're going to have a lot of food, right? And as kids, we were excited because, I mean, we're going to eat a lot of food. Because the guests won't be able to consume all the food. But Christ is coming. But we don't know when, right? And last week, Pastor Gary kind of spoke about the heart of man and the heart of God. And one thing he says that even though I wasn't here, but I was following him. And I want to, and he says, and I quote, he said, when we understand God's word and follow it by faith, we grow and learn to truly rest and find our stability in him. So even as we anticipate Christ coming, even as we stand in the world, we live in the world that is shaky. There are a lot of things going on around us. But if we follow it by faith and grow to learn that we can truly rest and trust in Christ, we will be stable even on a shaky ground. So as we go forward this morning, Chris, can you help me with the next slide? As we said, we want to be speaking on live in expectancy of Jesus' return. And now for our eternal truth. Help me, Chris, please. Thank you. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you. For our eternal truth, now the most exhilarating moment of your life may happen today. And when that happens, sometimes you're confused and what is going on? You're scared and you wonder what is happening. Now imagine, this was the attitude of the early Christians. The early Christian endured 300 years of hostility. You think we're going through something today? But in there, history tells us that the early Christian, they went through hostility to emerge as the dominant force during the Roman Empire. And that helps to give birth to the church. Today we have Christians moving, serving God. And during that time, they were going through trials. They were going through a whole lot of situations. And they were eagerly anticipating Jesus' return. And they talked about it every day, you know. Like when Superboy is coming, everybody talking about Superboy, right? Because that one of the biggest sporting events in the United States. Everybody talking about it. So they were eager to talk about it as if Jesus was going to come right away. But God has a definite plan for the time leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. People have wondered for centuries about when Christ will return. Is he coming tomorrow? Is he coming next year? You know, when I used to live in an apartment in Pemberton, there was my neighbor, older man, and I know some of you can remember that time. There was this guy who called himself, he gave a prophecy that the world was going to come to an end. I think it was 10 years back or so. You can remember, yes. So my neighbor, he came to me. He racked up my door. He said, "Brother," and I'm like, "What's going on?" He said, "Have you heard on the news?" I said, "What?" He said, "The world is coming to an end." I said, "Did Jesus tell you that the world is coming to an end tomorrow?" "How did you know?" He said, "Oh, there's a prophet. He says it." I said, "Well, my Bible tells me no one knows, even the angels in heaven doesn't know when Jesus is coming." So I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to take all my stuff out of the apartment and move down to my mother's place and stay with her, and we wait until Jesus comes." I said, "Praise God, but I'm going to be right here when he comes. I'm ready for him." And when that time passed, I went to his door to knock to see if he was actually there. And there he was there, and I knocked to there. I said, "Hey, you stay here?" He said, "Yeah, I'm here." I said, "But what happened?" "I don't know." I said, "Okay." I said, "You listened to the wrong source, because no one knows when Christ is coming. The plan is in God's hands, and only he knows when his return will be." But this is what he wants us to do. The Lord gave warning, promises, comfort, and even heavenly hope in the face of all that we experience until his return. Amen? So don't let no one tell you Jesus is coming tomorrow and you go sell all your belongings. Let's go to the next slide, Chris. Thank you. Now, as we go through our message, two things I want us to get in our mind is that what does Jesus want you, want me to do in the midst of a difficult world? How do we live in the end times in a world that is completely out of control? Should we be afraid? Should we be worried? Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 3, the disciples and Christ, they left the temple precincts, and his disciples called his attention to this amazing building that is on the screen. And it was known as the Temple Mount. And this temple was built particularly during the, it happens to be the second temple, because the first temple was destroyed, which Solomon built was destroyed. And this second temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, in 586 BC. Now, this one was erected by Zerubbabel, one of the kings. And after that, King Herod the Great built this temple. And the disciples look at it. How fabulous, how beautiful it was. And probably one of the reasons why they asked concerning this temple, it was in Matthew chapter 23, verse 38. And Jesus says that your house is left to you desolate. I'm just paraphrasing that. You see, your house is left with you desolate. And I'm thinking that the disciples was wondering what he meant that the house would be desolate, this beautiful structure that was built. And Jesus replied, said, "Yes, it will." And Jesus went on to say, he said, "Not one stone will be left upon another." This beautiful structure, he said, not one stone. And now, if you look at this building, this structure, the stones that was used to construct it, it was so huge, humongous. Like, it was 40 inches big, 12 by 12, and it kind of weighed about 100 tons. That 10 men cannot even carry it. And when they piled on top of each other, there is not even a space that you can put even a piece of paper between. And Jesus said that everything will collapse and not one stone will remain standing. So the disciples were wondering, how can that happen? And Jesus said, yes, it's going to happen. And 40 years later, when the Roman Empire Titus took over, he came and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Now, I was privileged to go to Jerusalem, And these are the stones. The stones that fell, we went to the old temple. There where you could see those stones. Now imagine one of those stones. And that's why the disciple was looking at, can this building collapse? With these kind of huge stones? Let's go to the next one. These are the kind of stones that the disciples are looking at. That they used to erect the temple to build a fabulous building. And they were concerned. But Jesus said, that temple, everything will collapse, and not one stone will remain standing. And that's what you're seeing over there. And that's the remains of the temple, the second temple. And that's me standing right there. But Jesus said, not one stone will remain standing. And so, the disciple asked Jesus, three specific questions. And the first question they asked Jesus, said, when will these things happen? When will it be? And the next question is, what will be the sign of your coming? And the next question, the third question was, what will the signs of the end of the world be? What will be the sign of the end of the world? They were curious after Jesus told them all these things, that the temple will be destroyed, and it came upon them. What the sign? We want to see sign. We want to know when it's going to happen so that we can be prepared, I guess. So we're going to look at a couple of things this morning where Jesus laid down the timeline that these events have to happen before He can return. So if you see these things happening, and certain time as we go on, he will say, it's just the beginning. The end is yet to come. So quickly, we want to look at a little bit of the timeline. In there, we have the church age, which is the age we now live in. And Jesus talked about the beginning of sorrows, which we're going to talk about. The Great Tribulation, which we're going to talk about. He laid out, this is a timeline that all these things will have to happen before Christ return. So no one going to tell you, say, oh, Jesus is coming next week Thursday. They are lying. Because what Christ says, all these things have to happen before His return. And even no one knows His return will be when, how. But He gave us signs, He gave us warnings that we can follow and prepare, even in the midst of, as I said earlier, a world that is shaky, a world that is out of control. How can we live and be prepared for His coming? Amen? So quickly, we want to look at the first point Jesus talked about. The beginning of birth pains. And these are the days that is preceding these events, the first half of the tribulations. The first half of the tribulation. And Jesus spoke about it, lived it in the book of Matthew. And Jesus, he talks about six specific pains that the disciples should expect to happen. And now, even though Jesus spoke to the disciples, that's also to us, because we will experience these things. The first thing, he talked about deception by false prophets. He talks about disputes and warfare among nations. He talks about devastation throughout the world. He talks about deliverance of believers to tribulation. He talks about defection of false believers. And he talks about declaration of gospel to the whole world. So all the things has to take place before Jesus can even show up. And Jesus kind of describes this period of time, and he calls it the beginning of sorrow. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 to 5. And after the disciple asked Jesus, what's the sign? What should we expect for these things to happen? He says, and Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. He said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will what? Deceive many. Many are going to come. If you turn on the TV, you hear a lot of message about Christ coming. You hear a whole lot of things going on. But Jesus is saying that if we, as believers, like Pastor Gary said, if our faith is not in Christ, we will be deceived by these false teachings and false prophets that will proclaim that they are the Christ. And look what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes. Come in my name, saying, sorry, falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Paul was warning the believers in Thessalonica, and he was specific, telling them that, listen, apparently there were false teaching creeping in the church, misleading the believers, telling them the wrong thing. And Paul tried to encourage them. He tells them that, listen, first there will be rebellion. And this means that they're going to be in an extreme revolt against the truth. No one wants to accept the truth. They're going to turn against the truth. And secondly, he said, Paul mentioned in verse 3, he said, the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. Now, based on their description, this man's activity, it seems to be two famous things. One, John of Revelation, he talks about it in Revelation chapter 13, where he says that God will punish the man of lawlessness. He said, by committing him to what? Eternal punishment in the lake of fire. So the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, has to be revealed before. These are just the preceding to the coming. All these things has to happen before Christ returns. So what do we do as Christians in the midst of all these things? We need to solidify our faith in Christ. Because if we're not stable, we're going to be misled. Because the devil is the father of what? Lies. And the next thing Christ says that, he said there will be disputes and warfare among the nations. Now, war has been going on. And imagine the days of the early believers, the Christians. What had been going on? They've been thinking, is Jesus coming again? When? Because there has been war. And war continues to go. Even today as we live, we see things happening. But is he coming tomorrow? We don't know. But he says that all of these things has to happen so that his coming will not be overlooked. That when you see, he doesn't have to come down and whisper to you and say to you, I read a book and the author says that this fellow, he made an agreement with death. And he told death, he said, death, before you come, give me some sign. Show me sign that you are coming. And death said, no problem. And they signed that contract. And after 7 years, death came and say, I'm here. He said, oh, no, Dev. I didn't see any sign. I didn't see any sign that you were coming. And Dev said, look at your hair. When you were young, did you have the same hair you have on your hair? Now, I don't mean our older people, you're going to die soon, right? But what Dev was saying that, that's a sign that you're getting there. He said, look at your face. It's wrinkled up. That's a sign you are getting there. And all these signs I show you, but you didn't adhere to it. You didn't take it serious. But those are the signs. I'm going to write on a big wall and say, I'm coming tomorrow. This is what you need to do. But in essence, Christ provides us with signs about his second coming. And when he's going to come, he himself said, not even the Son of Man know the day of the Lord. Only the Father in heaven. So he said, but before there will be dispute, there will be war among nations. And all these things have to happen. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 to 4, he said, John said, when he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, very red, and went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. And look what he said. And the people should be killed. The people should kill one another. Isn't that happening? And it ain't just that happening today. It's been happening years back. And it's still happening. But can we just decide and say, oh, Christ coming tomorrow? No. Because if you look at the timeline we showed earlier, a lot of things have to take place before his coming. And in this passage, John revealed that the sea was broken. He said the transparent, whatever that was to transpire or transpiring on earth could be seen. And that indicates that the earth, the world will go through calamity, will go through different stages of tribulation. 7 years of judgment will follow the rapture of the church. But bear in mind, the time is not yet. But he will come. And that's the thing we need to prepare for. And one of the we'll skip that for time's sake. He said, there will be devastation throughout the world. When you turn your television on, you hear a whole lot of things going on. You wonder, where are we today? Things happening that never happened before, and you wonder what is going on in our world today. But the scripture said there will be devastation throughout the world. He said, for nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom as in kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And he says in verse 8, he said, all these are the beginning of what? Sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. You know, sometimes you read that, you say, whoo, if that's the beginning of sorrow, then God, please take me quickly. But I don't know if I'm going to be alive before that time, or whether Christ's going to come before, I'm going to die before that time, I'm going to be living before that time, or go through that time. But what I need to understand is that I have to build my faith in Christ, even in the midst of everything that is going on. We may get confused and wonder what is happening, but as Christian, he's the solid rock on which we can stand in the midst of a shaky ground. Another thing he talked about, he said, believers will be delivered to tribulation. Believers, the deliverance of believers to tribulation. And look at verse 4 there, what he says. Of Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Of Matthew chapter 24, he said, then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And that's exactly what the early Christian went through. They were persecuted. They went through trials. They went through difficult times. But Jesus said, for his name's sake, you and I will go through tribulations. We're going to be delivered to experience persecution. We're going to be delivered to experience hatred. Even the one whom you love will hate you. Even the one whom you care for will turn against you. For what? His name's sake. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, he said, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In verse 10, he said, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And then in verse 11, and this is the one I like. He said, then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and the brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Now, not many people like to read the book of Revelation. Because when you read it, there's some things you'll be like, hi, God. And how many pastors love to preach from the book of Revelation? But it's a hard truth that we need to understand. That as believers, even as we anticipate, as we wait in eagerness for the return of Christ, these are the things we're going to experience. These are the things we're going to go through. But he said the end is yet to come. We have a challenge, church. Imagine we've been delivered to be persecuted for his name's sake. And for such, many have been persecuted for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. There are souls of all those who have died for the faith from the time of Christ's ascension until he can come. And the Bible tells us about Stephen. He was stoned, right? He was stoned to death. The soul of Peter, he was crucified upside down. James, he was beheaded at Jerusalem. Andrew, he was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Nathaniel, he was beheaded. Thomas, he was sliced in half. The other James, he was thrown from a tower and stoned to death, and his body was cut into pieces. And Judas, not Judas Iscariot, he was shot to death with arrows. Paul was most likely beheaded. All these men died because of the gospel. They were eagerly waiting for Jesus' return, right? But he didn't come. But they all died. And if they went through such humiliating death and life for the sake of the gospel, we as believers should be on the alert and know that we're going to experience a perilous time also in our relationship as we walk with Christ. You see, church, your enemy will bring tribulation. The devil will bring tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, and all sorts of things upon your life. They may bring sword to kill you, hurt you all day long. But one thing that an enemy cannot do, they cannot take the love of God from you, because Christ is yours. And that's why Paul says, what then can separate us from the love of God? He said, nothing. Even through death, we cannot be separated from the love of God, because in him, he said, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He says, in the passage there, one of the elders answered, saying, "Who are the arrays in the werewolves, and where are they from?" And he said to them, "Sir, you know," he said, "these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation." Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. He said, "These are the ones who comes out of the great tribulation, and they will be rewarded with a white robe." Another thing that Christ talked about, he talked about deliverance of believers, for time's sake. And another thing he talked about, defection of false believers. In Matthew, in verses 10 to 13, he says, "And many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And look what he says there. He said, "But he who endures till the end shall be saved." Even in the midst of everything that is going to go on, Jesus says that he who endures, who make it to the end, he will be saved. Even you're going to be hated, you're going to be betrayed. But when you stand to the end, he says, you're going to be saved. And that's the hope we can have in Christ as we wait on his second coming. And another thing Jesus talked about, he said, the declaration of the gospel to the whole world. That ain't going to be easy. In verse 14, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." The gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations before the end will come. And if the gospel has not been preached to all nations, that means we're still waiting. And what are we doing, believers? That means it is our responsibility to whatever means you can spread the gospel, even at your job, in a marketplace, or wherever you find yourself, it is our responsibility. And he said, all of this has to happen before the end come. That's the declaration of the gospel should be taken to every part of the world. And another point Jesus stressed, which we want to look at quickly, he said, in a timeline, he said, the abomination of desolation. That's the midpoint of the tribulation. Why we going to experience the midpoint of tribulation? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 to 20, Jesus talks about this. He said, "Therefore," he said, "when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, where whoever reads, let him understand." He said, "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field go back to his and get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days." He said, "And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." Now, the abomination of desolation comprises of two Hebrew words. Quickly, I just want to share that. One is its translation in the Hebrew word, it says it's called shikot. And it means to describe something that is horrific, horrifying. It's not acceptable to even eat or even worship. And the next one, that the next word is shaman. It translates as devastated, outrageous, offended, wasted, is ruined. That means it's not value, it's not important, it's not good, right? So Jesus is saying that the abomination of desolation is going to take place. And in there he says, let who is on the housetop not go down to take anything. So imagine how hard it's going to be for anyone who's going to be living at that time. But here's the thing. For those of those believers who had a hope in Christ, even as they go through the abomination of desolation, they're going to survive it because why? Their hope is in Christ. They're not going to be shaken. Even though it's going to be something that will hit them hard, but because of our foundation and of our hope and our faith in Christ, we can go through these kinds of situations that Christ mentioned. Oh, sorry. Let me go back. Now, let me go back to scripture. Yeah, right there. And I want to stress on verse 19, it says, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And he said, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. We know how the winter looks like, right? When it's cold. And imagine Christ comes. This tribulation is taking place. Jesus is saying that. He said, woe to even those who are pregnant. Imagine what they are going to go through. What they're going to face. Now, the reasons that he says that, first, Jesus said that the events will take place immediately before the great tribulation. This event has to occur, which has not yet transpired, which has not yet taken place. And secondly, he said that this tribulation will be so terrible that it will be unlike anything that has happened in the history of the world. So if he says that, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, that means it's going to be horrific. It's going to be terrifying. But guess what? It will surely happen. Now, maybe not for some of us who are alive today, but it's definitely going to happen. But here's the thing, that even in the midst of this great tribulation, those who have the hope, the faith in Christ, need not to be waver. Need to stand firm and keep trusting him, even in the midst of this shaky ground, even in the midst of the terrible time that these events are occurring. Because he still cares for his own. And the next point we want to talk about is the great tribulation. The great tribulation in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 to 28. And that's the last half of the tribulation. Okay. And then he says in verse 21 to 28, he said, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, not ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, he said, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Who are the elect? We are. And Jesus is saying, for you and our sake, those days will be shortened. You remember, he said, it's not his will that we should perish, that all should perish. It's a will that we should come to him with repentance. And because of the elect, because of you and I, he said, for our sake, those days will be shut. And then he said, that if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, He said, do not believe it. Do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And in there he says, see, I have told you beforehand, so that it cannot be a surprise. Verse 26 says, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out or look. He is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will gather together. The great tribulation. Jesus giving the warning. He refers to the era and markets of the violation as the great tribulation. He says, it's going to be horror. Horrific. And the time will be worse of any time in human history. He explained that it will be worse suffering in all of history, even from the beginning of the world until now. But all these things, he said, has to happen. The great tribulation has to take place before he comes. And we're going to talk about quickly his return. The return of Jesus. Now, in verse 24 to 29, he says, the sun and the moon will be darkened, the stars will fall. Jesus will appear. Lost people mourn and save the gathered to Jerusalem. So let's see that quickly. He said, for there will be a great... Hold on. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Jesus will appear and the lost will be mourned. In verse 30, he said, then the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And look what he says in verse 31. He says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. That's when he's going to come. And I know the moon has not, or the sun is not yet darkened, right? So he's not here yet. But this is a sign that Jesus gave us. When a disciple asks him, what will be the sign? What should we see to know that you are coming? How should we know? Jesus spelled out everything. So what should we do as believers, even in the midst of all of what is going to happen? How should we prepare ourselves? Chris, thank you. Living in the end time, what can we do? First thing first, stand firm to the end. Stand firm to the end. Because he who has brought you this far will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's going to hold you up. Your faith should not be wavering. Your hope should not be wavering, because our hope in him cannot be dashed, cannot be dismantled. When we put our faith, our trust in him, when he comes, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Look what he says there in Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. He said, and because the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he said, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, he said, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. And he says that, knowing that your what? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So while we anticipate Jesus' is coming, we should what? Labor for him. We should what? Work what is day. Because the night is going to come when no man can work. Church, we should not be afraid and be worried about what is going to happen. We should be concerned about our faith, our hope, our solid foundation in Christ Jesus. Because he says it in his word. He said, those who endure to the end will be saved. And that's the word I want to leave with us this afternoon. Christ is going to come. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through the tribulation is going to come. All these things are going to happen. Whether we are alive before that time, this is what we need to do. Work for the Lord. Work for the Lord. And that's why Paul, he make it simple. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding always, not sometimes. Because maybe the time you want to take a break, that's when he's going to come. Don't take a break. Keep working for him because he's going to come. And when he comes, he's going to take his elect with him. Amen. Father, I want to thank you for your word. We just give you the praise and honor, oh God. Even as we're about to go into our communion time, we just commit the rest of the time unto you. And help us, oh God, to remain focused and trusting in you, even in the midst of a shaking world and in the midst of everything that we're experiencing. That when you come, Lord, we will be unto you, your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.